Like many other leading churchmen, Cardinal Daniel DiNardo of Galveston, Houston, praised Pope Benedict's generosity and humbleness in deciding that it was best to resign. He spoke to Vatican Radio's Susie Hodges.
I was on an airplane returning from Rome to the United States on that day and did not hear about it till the afternoon when I landed in Washington, D.C. I was surprised by it. I don't know if I was incredulous so much as surprised by the news. The more it was sinking into me, the more I realized, as I was able to read the Pope's statement, that in fact he was very clear, as always, and very humble in his response, that what the bark of Peter needed at this time, given his health and age, he could not provide for the common good of the Church. So, a bit surprised at first, yes. When I thought about it, it seemed to me he was being both generous and also very humble in deciding it was best for him to resign.
How do you think it will change our perception about the papacy in the future?
I don't know that it will change our perception of the papacy as the See of Peter and the important office that is given to the one who is elected. I think it will make it clear, perhaps more to us, that there's a heavy burden to that office, and there's obviously in the course of time a human toll, and the Pope himself will have to discover if he can bear the weight of that office. I suppose, since it's been 600 years, this is breaking a precedent on one level, even though such a resignation is provided for in the Code of Canon Law. But it does open up for us that the Pope accepts an office for the Church as the Bishop of Rome and head of the Church, and the common good of the Church is the most significant aspect in terms of his role of promoting unity and governance. There could be a wider thinking about the meaning of that in the future. I do not think it's clear yet what that will mean.
What for you are the highlights or your own fondest memories, if you like, of Pope Benedict's pontificate?
Perhaps one of the highlights I myself received was the surprise announcement that I was being named a cardinal. Some of you hearers may realize there had never been a cardinal in the southern or southwestern part of the United States. So it was an incredible surprise to everyone, not the least of which was me. So to receive that particular honor and responsibility from Pope Benedict was certainly memorable. And when I met him at the time of the consistory where I was named a cardinal, the Pope always is very gracious, and he had a smile about, oh, Texas, yes, it's Texas now that we'll have. So he obviously was quite aware of why I was chosen, and my meeting with him in those days when I was named a cardinal certainly are incredibly memorable to me.
Do you think that upgrade, if you like, for the Archdiocese of Houston-Galveston is partly a reflection of the growing Hispanic population, of course, most of whom are Catholic?
When I was elevated to the position of being a cardinal, in fact, I was told that part of the reason involved in this is the great growth of the Catholic faith in the south and southwest of the United States, that the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston was the largest Catholic archdiocese in that territory. Certainly, one of the reasons we've grown so large is immigration that has come from all parts of the world. But the immigration is most intense from Mexico, Central and South America, so that the Hispanic presence in Galveston-Houston is intense, and it's beautiful. It's almost right now 40% of our Catholic population. So it is memorable and I think significant for the work of the Church and the work of our mission in this part of the country.
Okay, turning now to the future, what do you see as the most pressing challenges facing the Church for whoever will become the new Pope?
The work of the Church is always mission, the mission of Christ to the world. Not only does the Church have a mission, but as Pope Paul VI, John Paul II, and Pope Benedict have repeatedly reminded us, we are mission. That's what the Church is. That's our identity. So what we'll face the new Pope is, in fact, how do we most enthusiastically and convincingly and joyfully announce the message, first in our lives, in our preaching, teaching, and in our way of serving the Lord Jesus in his Church and for the good of the world. So for anyone who is to be elected, to my mind, that's the most principal activity that the new Holy Father must give, and it's a vision of evangelization.